Good morning, 21st century world. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Radio, I'd sit alone and watch your light, my only friend through teenage nights, and everything I had to know, I heard it on my radio. You gave them all those old-time stars, through wars of worlds invaded by Mars. You made them laugh, you made them cry, you made us feel like we could fly, radio. So don't become some background noise, a backdrop for girls and boys who just don't know or just don't care, and just complain when you're not there. You had your time, you had the power, you've yet to have your finest hour, radio. All we hear is Radio Gaga. Radio, what's new? Radio, someone still loves you. We watched the shows, we watched the stars, on videos for hours and hours. We hardly need to use our ears, how music changes through the years. Let's hope you never leave, old friend. Like all good things, on you we depend. So stick around, 'cause we might miss you when we grow tired of all this visual. You had your time, you had the power, you've yet to have your finest hour, radio. Radio, what's new? Radio Richard Ireland still loves you. Thank you.
We watch the shows, we watch the stars on video for hours and hours. We have a need to use our ears. Our music changes through the years. Let's know you'll never leave a friend like our good friends.
Talking with an 84-year-old woman the other day, who somehow through her humorless words, through her style of speaking, managed to very skillfully transfer her troublesome emotions right into me, under the radar of her speaking, as it were. It left me feeling unhappy for a few hours before I was able to shake it off. How, I asked myself, do some people manage to transfer their emotions to me, quite unbeknownst to me? It always happens, and they don't have to be elderly people either. Methinks it must be something about me. Have you any porcupines in your life? People at work or in your neighborhood, or even within your own home, or within your own extended family. People with whom you always need to be very careful with when speaking to them, in case your words might be picked up differently, even contrary to what you innocently intended. The best way, I think, is to be true to yourself, and in that way you can't go wrong, even though every now and then you will most certainly feel some emotional pains, whenever you good intentionally or innocently, or even naively open your mouth. Confucius of China and Jesus of Galilee, I imagine, surely must have gone on with life, while at the same time living with such pains. In today's broadcast, we're going to learn about an Austrian UNESCO World Heritage Site, and then I will conclude with a poem. Historic Center of Vienna. Vienna, which is situated on the Danube River in the present part in eastern part of Austria, developed from early Celtic and Roman settlements into a medieval and Baroque city, eventually becoming the capital of the Austria-Hungarian Empire. It played an essential role as the leading European music center, hosting major personalities in the development of music from the 16th to the 20th centuries, particularly Viennese classicism and romanticism, consolidating Vienna's reputation as the music capital of Europe. Vienna is also rich in architectural ensembles, particularly Baroque mansions and gardens, as well as the late 19th century Ringstrasse ensemble lined with grand buildings, monuments, and parks. The property consists of the city's medieval core, based on the Roman settlement, the principal Baroque ensembles with their axial layouts, and the Grundstritt constructions from the beginning of the modern period. At the beginning of the 12th century, the settlement here expanded beyond the Roman defences, which were demolished. During the Ottoman conflicts in the 16th and 17th centuries, the medieval town walls, which surrounded a much larger area, were rebuilt and provided with bastions. This remained the core of Vienna until the medieval walls were demolished in the second half of the 19th century. The inner city contains a number of medieval-era buildings, including the Stocken Cloister, the oldest monastery in Austria, the churches of Maria and other churches dating from the 13th century, and St. Stephen's Cathedral, which dates from the 14th to the 15th century. The same period also saw the construction of civic ensembles, such as initial parts of the Hofburg Palace. Whereas the monastic complexes were generally built of stone, becoming part of the defences of the medieval city, the residential quarters were of timber and suffered frequent fires. In 1683, Vienna became the capital of the Habsburg Empire and developed rapidly, becoming an impressive Baroque city. The Baroque character was expressed particularly in the large palace layouts such as the Belvedere Palace and Garden Ensemble. A growing number of new palaces were built by noble families. Many existing medieval buildings, churches, and convents were altered and given Baroque features, and additions were made to representative administrative buildings. Several historic Viennese buildings are now associated with the residence of important personalities, such as Mozart, Beethoven, and Schubert, when the city played an essential role as a leading European center for music. A new phase in the history of Vienna took place when its 34 suburbs were incorporated into the city, and the emperor ordered the demolition of the fortifications around the inner city. The opportunity was taken to create one of the most significant 19th century ensembles in the history of urban planning, which greatly influenced the rest of Europe. In this crucial period of social and economic development. In 1874, the Hofburg complex was extended with the addition of the new Hofburg, an imperial forum, and joined with large museum complexes into a single ensemble. The Burg Theatre, Parliament, Town Hall, and University formed another ensemble linked with these structures. To this was added the Opera House, as well as a large number of public and private buildings along the Ringstrasse on the line of the demolished city walls. The late 19th and 20th centuries testify to further creative contributions by Viennese designers, artists, and architects. Today's poem is Daffodils by William Wordsworth. I will first read about the possible meanings of the poem as a way of focusing our attention, our concentration. I'm using classicalpoets.org. Through the narrator's chance encounter with a field of daffodils by the water, we are presented with the power and beauty of the natural world. It sounds simple enough, but there are several factors that contribute to this poem's greatness. First, the poem comes at a time when the Western world is industrializing and man feels spiritually lonely in the face of an increasingly godless worldview. This feeling is perfectly harnessed by the depiction of wandering through the wilderness, lonely as a cloud, and by the ending scene of the narrator sadly lying on his couch, in vacant or in pensive mood, and finding happiness in solitude. The daffodils then become more than nature. they become a companion and a source of personal joy. Second, the very simplicity itself of enjoying nature, flowers, trees, the sea, the sky, the mountains, is perfectly manifested by the simplicity of the poem. The four stanzas simply begin with daffodils, describe daffodils, compare daffodils to something else, and end on daffodils, respectively. Any common reader can easily get this poem, as easily as he or she might enjoy a walk around a lake. Third, Wordsworth has subtly put forward more than just an ode to nature here. Every stanza mentions dancing, and the third stanza even calls the daffodils a show. At this time in England, you might have paid money to see an opera or other performance of high artistic quality. Here Wordsworth is putting forward the idea that nature can offer similar joys and even give you wealth instead of taking it from you, undoing the idea that beauty is attached to earthly money and social status. This, coupled with the language and topic of the poem, which are both relatively accessible to the common man, make for a great poem that demonstrates the all-encompassing and accessible nature of beauty and its associates, truth and bliss. Daffodils by William Wordsworth. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils, beside the lake, beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze. Continuous as the stars that shine and twinkle on the Milky Way, they stretched in never-ending line along the margin of a bay. 10,000 saw I at a glance, tossing their heads in sprightly dance. The waves beside them danced, but they outdid the sparkling waves in glee. A poet could not but be gay in such a jocund company. I gazed and gazed, but little thought what wealth the show to me had brought. For oft, when on my couch I lie, in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon that inward eye, which is the bliss of solitude. And then my heart with pleasure fills, and dances with the daffodils. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Take good care of yourself and those around you. Be grateful for everything. Love to love, for love comes home to those who love to love. It is an honor to have you listening. Slán agus beannacht leat.
You talk like Marlene Dietrich, and you dance like Zizi Jeanmel. Your clothes are all made by Balmain, and there's diamonds and pearls in your hair, yes there are. You live in a fancy apartment off the boulevard Saint-Michel, where you keep your Rolling Stones records and your friend of Sacha Distel, yes you do. Ah, but where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Won't you tell me the thoughts that surround you? I want to look inside your head, yes I do. I've seen all your qualifications you got from the Sorbonne, and the painting you stole from Picasso. Your loveliness goes on and on, yes it does. But where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Won't you tell me the thoughts that surround you? I want to look inside your head if I do. And they say that when you get married, it'll be to a millionaire. But they don't realize where you came from. And I wonder if they really care or give a damn. So look into my face, Mary Claire, and remember just who you are. Then go and forget me forever. But I know you still bear the scars deep inside. Yes, you do. I know where you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed. And I know the thoughts that surround you, 'cause I can look inside your head. Where do you go to, my loving, when you're alone in your bed? Tell me the thoughts that surround you. I want to look inside your head, yes I do.
How do you like it?
I love it. You're not a hairdresser. You're an artist.